Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we love you and praise you. And now as we go into your word, we pray your Holy Spirit would come and fill us. Remove everything out of our minds, Lord, but you. Let us be attentive. Let us listen. Let us listen for you to speak to us here this morning. For yes, Lord, you are here. You have told us in your Bible that wherever we are, you are. We know, Lord, that you are with us, that you are in us, that you are for us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Now may there be much more of you and less of me. Amen. You know, the Bible is made up of 66 books written by 40 different authors and written in three different continents, or on three different continents. And yet it has one theme. You know, Muhammad wrote the Quran. Buddha wrote his lessons. And Confucius wrote, well, Confucius says. And because one person did these writings, they're uniform. But 40 people wrote the Bible under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And all of them wrote the same story. It is one reason why I believe the Bible is truly the Word of God, because it is uniform. It's all about God's love for you and how he sent his son. It's all about God redeeming man, and that Jesus is the star, and only God could put all this together with 40 different people writing 40 different things to keep this theme the same going through all these different authors. So yes, I believe that the Word of God is the Bible. So it's Valentine's Day, and I thought I would talk about love this morning. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13, verses 2 through 3. If I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am... Wow. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I... And then the religious leaders were around Jesus, and they were asking him about the different laws that they had. And they asked him, okay, of all the laws that have been written, what is the most important? What is the one that stands out above all the other laws? Which one is the most important? And this is what Jesus said. What's the first word? The Lord your God, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and love your neighbor as yourself. So what do you see there? Love God and love. Love God, love your neighbor, love people. If we get these two things right, we got it. If we get these two things right, we understand the purpose of life. So I got a question this morning, and I often wonder about these crazy things. Why did God make us and put us on earth? We know that we're going to live through eternity, right? So why not just make us and give us heaven? Why in the world did he make us and put us on earth? Ever wondered that? Anybody ever wondered that? Raise your hand if you ever wondered that. I'm glad I'm not the only crazy one in this crowd. I often wonder, why did he put us here? What's the purpose? And the Bible is very clear why you and I are here. You and I have been put on earth to learn how to love God and to love others. That is why we are here. We have been put here to learn how to love God and to love others. Life is one great lesson about love. Not about acquiring. It's not about education. It's not about accomplishments. It's not about achievements. It's about love. You see, all these things we will leave behind when we're gone. All these things, when you and I go to heaven, there's only one thing that we will take with us. One thing that you and I will take to heaven when we go. Do you know what it is? First word. Love. That's it, love. Love for God and love for each other. That's what you and I will take when we go to heaven. So God has put you and I here for 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years so we can learn how to love. Now, there are two lessons to learn in love, loving God and loving each other. And if you get that, you got it. If you don't get that, every other answer is wrong. And if we don't get that, we are wasting our life because we've been put here to learn how to love. Plain and simple. Now, we know that love is important, don't we? We all know that. It's important. But we get distracted. We forget. So today I want to talk about the three laws of love. Now, how many of you all want to be known as a great lover? I think I've asked the wrong question. I have gone over this sermon many times, and just now I just realized. Let me do this a different way. I want my God to know I love him. I want my wife to know I love her. I want my children to know that I love them. I want my family to know that I love them. I want my friends to know that I love them. I want on my tombstone, he was a great lover. Now, there are three laws of love. Number one, the best use of life is to love. God says in that commandment that he gave us to love God and love others, he says that is the most important thing in your life. It should be the number one priority of everything else that you do. It needs to be your first objective. It needs to be your greatest ambition. It needs to be your life's purpose. It's to love God and love others. Now, why would God tell us it should be our number one objective, our number one purpose? Why does he tell us that that's the thing that we should focus on most? Because love validates our faith. Love proves that I am a part of the family of God. God says, to know me and love me is to love others. And if you don't love others, then you don't love me. Love proves that I'm going to heaven. Love proves that I'm a child of God. Love proves that I'm born again. Love proves that I've been saved. You know, where I work, we have a process that you have to go to enter into work. You have to have a card. You take that card out when you get to the door. You put it up against the little card reader. It reads your card. The door is open and you get to go in. But if you don't have a card, you can't get in because you don't belong there. You can't get in because you don't belong there. To get to heaven, we have to prove that we belong. Do you know how we prove that? First word, love. By the way that we love God and we love others, it validates that we belong in God's house. It validates that we belong to God's family. Love validates who we are. Look at 1 John 4:20. For whoever does not, what? Their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. Love validates that we are part of the family of God. Love does matter. Love does matter. In fact, it's the most important thing that matters. The second law of love. Love integrates my life. Everything is connected and controlled by our love for God and for others. Our social life, our finances, our sex life, our friends, everything is controlled by our love for God and our love for others. Love draws all things together. This is the core of our life. We were created to love. Without love, life is fragmented. You see, everybody builds their life around one thing. Everybody does. Everybody builds their life around one thing, and that one thing becomes the dominant principle of their life. Now, it can be money. It could be popularity. It could be success. It could be a hobby. But when life falls apart, the fragments fall apart with it. The Bible says the only thing strong enough to hold things together is love. Love for God and love for others. Look at this scripture. Colossians 1, 15 through 17. The Son is the image of the invisible God. You ever want to see God? Look at Jesus. He is the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things and
in him all things hold together.
Love holds all things together. God is love. That's his character. That's who he is. God is love. And love holds all things together. The third law of love. Love compensates for my sin. And once we understand this and grasp that, oh man, that's great. I believe, listen to this. I believe that when I sin, the first thing God asks is this. Does he love me and does he love Jesus? The first thing he does when I sin, when I do wrong, when I mess up, I think God asks, does he love me and does he love Jesus? If he does, we're going to compensate for his sin. We're going to cover it up. We know Mike is imperfect. What matters most is does he love me? Look at 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a what? Man, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? Love covers over a multitude of sins. This means that Jesus covers up our sin. Jesus says, I'm willing to pay the punishment for the moral laws you have broken. I'll take the rap. I'll do the time. I'll pay the debt. Jesus says, because I love you, everything that you've ever done has been blotted out. Everything that you ever will do wrong will be blotted out. I will cover it up and I will forgive you. Isn't that beautiful? That's the way God looks at us. And when we do wrong, I believe the first question that God asks is, does he or she love me? See, the Bible says that love covers up all sins. God says, we're going to take care of this sin. We're going to remove it because heaven is a perfect place and my children are not. Do you know what heaven would be like if God allowed sin in heaven? What do you think heaven would be like if God allowed sin in heaven? It'd be like earth, wouldn't it? Be like earth. God says, I will come to earth, I will show them my love, and if they accept my love, I will cover their sins. Compensate for sins also means that I will forgive others. It means that I will let others off the hook. You see, when we understand that God has forgiven us and that we're imperfect, it also means that we understand that everybody else is imperfect too. And so when they mess up, we have a loving heart and we compensate for their sins because sins, love covers over a multitude of sins. So if you find someone that is always negative or critical or putting others down or complaining about imperfections, that person doesn't feel love. Because when we realize how much we've been forgiven, we start cutting people slack. When we experience grace, we give grace back. When we really love someone like God does, we don't rub sins in, we rub them out. God says, I want you to experience my love and my forgiveness so that you can pass it on to others. See, that's what we're here for. We're here to learn how to love God, and we're here to learn how to love each other. You know, King David was a miserable mess up. Did you know that? He was a mess up. He had an affair. He had the woman's husband that he had an affair with moved to the front lines and so that he would be killed in action. And David said, Lord, I'm sorry. I really messed up. Forgive me. And God, I really do love you. And God said of David, he is a man after my own heart. That's confusing, isn't it? It's confusing to understand that kind of love, because love covers over a multitude of sins. But it's also comforting. You know why? Because I mess up. You know, it's more important to love than it is to be perfect, because God doesn't expect us to be perfect. He expects us to love him and to love others. It doesn't matter if we've messed up our lives. Why? Because God's love covers all of our sins. Now, I want to get personal with you. Do you know why God uses me? Do you think it's because of my good looks? Wait a minute, let me give you the pose. That's an inside joke. Do you think it's because I'm so smart? Do you think it's because I'm perfect? You see, I have sins. I mess up. I do wrong. And I ask all the time, God, why do you use me? I don't understand. Why do you use me? Do you know why God uses me? Because deep down, he knows in my heart that I love him. Even though I mess up, I'm not perfect. God looks down deep in my heart, and he knows that I love him. Do you know why God uses you? It's not because of your handsome looks. It's not because you're so smart. It's not because you're perfect. Because you mess up too. And God looks inside your heart. And when you mess up, he asks this question. Does he or she love me? And when he sees the answer, he says, I can use that person. Because I know deep in their heart, they love me. God says, in spite of Mike's goof-ups, in spite of all the wrong things that he does, he really does love me, and I'm going to use him. And I think the greatest compliment that you and I could ever receive in life is someone that says, wow, they really do love God and love people. In closing, love matters, and there's three laws of love. First, love validates my faith. The second one, love integrates my life. And the third one, love compensates for my sin. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we love you and praise you. And we thank you, Father, for your word. And we thank you for this great love that you have for us. And Lord, we want to wish you a happy Valentine's Day. The one who created love deserves to be honored on a day where we show love. Father, I pray this morning, if there's anyone here that does not know you, does not love you, that your Holy Spirit would touch that heart and speak to that individual. And may they hear you calling them by name. And may they hear the words from you to them. I created you. I love you. And I want you to return my love. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Won't you stand, please, as we sing our hymn of invitation? The altar is open for all who need to come.